started here this morning, I would like to pose to you a question. And that question is, have you ever gotten stuck? Now, I believe if we went through the room this morning and we all answered, I think it would be a resounding yes. You see, in Alaska, we don't drive our compact electric cars on nicely paved roads in fair weather 12 months of the year. Instead, in Alaska, we drive our four-wheelers through the deepest mud bogs we can find. We drive our snow machines through waist-deep powder. And even just going to the grocery store, we drive our cars on some of the most treacherous roads in the world 6 months of the year. So I propose to you that getting stuck in Alaska once in a while is just part of life. And sometimes getting stuck is not a real big deal. I don't know if you've ever been to Jim Creek. Anyone ever been down there? You see people driving four-wheelers and 4x4s, and they intentionally drive through the deepest mud pits they can find to see if they can make it through. And when they get stuck, their friends come over, laugh at them, throw them a rope, and pull them out, and they repeat it all over again. So sometimes getting stuck can be kind of fun. Other times, getting stuck can be life-threatening. If you're driving to Fairbanks in the middle of January, and it's minus 30, and it's midnight, and you drive off the road into a deep ditch where no one can see you, you've got yourself a life-threatening situation. And as much as it is a reality in life that we can get stuck once in a while, I want to propose to you this morning that in our lives, we can also get stuck emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. And I'd like to take a few minutes this morning to look at some strategies and some steps that we can take that when we find ourselves stuck, when we find ourselves in a rut, that we can keep moving forward and keep growing. The first thing that we need to do when we find ourselves stuck is that we need to make a decision to move forward. You know, before anything happens in life, we need to make a decision. This morning, when you decided to get up out of bed and get showered, that was a decision. As you were sitting here this morning, the clothes that you were wearing first were a decision. The fact that you were sitting in church this morning was also a decision. You had to decide to come here. Good things in our life usually don't come our way before we first make a decision. The Apostle Paul gives us a great example of this in a very well-known verse that we find in Colossians 3, verses 12 through 14. Here we read, "Now that I have not that I have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward the goal, to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." You see, here, Paul made a definitive decision. He wasn't going to allow himself to get stuck in a rut. He wasn't going to say, yeah, I've done pretty well. I've written a few books. That's good enough. I'll stay right here. No, instead, he states he is going to strive forward. He's going to push on. And he made a decision to move forward in his journey of faith. And in the same way, we too need to make a definitive decision that we are going to move forward and grow in Christ. Let me give you a story that illustrates this very nicely. In May of 2003, Aaron Ralston, an experienced mountaineer, was going for what was for him a routine 15-mile bike ride followed by a 15-mile hike. Crazy guy. Through Blue John Canyon in Utah. Things went awry when a rock Aaron was standing on came loose, causing him to fall to the bottom of the canyon, wedging his arm between an 800-pound boulder and the canyon wall. He tried and tried to free himself, but to no avail. He was 50 miles from a paved road, outside of cell phone range, and had only 12 ounces of water and two burritos to sustain him. Aaron realized he did not have many days to live. 24 hours after being trapped by the rock and having no one in sight, Aaron realized his only chance for survival was probably to cut off his right arm to get free. But he had his doubts, as you and I would too. He also didn't know, he wasn't sure whether he would die of blood loss or if he could develop a tourniquet that could work. He also didn't know whether his little pocket knife could cut through his arm. But eventually, Aaron made a firm decision that at all costs, he would try his best to cut off his arm and be free of the boulder. On day 3, Aaron realized that if he used his knife like a dagger, and this knife only had a 1.5-inch blade, but if he used his knife as a dagger, he could cut through the soft tissues much easier than sawing. So he made progress. But his small knife was still no match for his bones. And he tried and tried to get free, but could not. Finally, on the morning of the 6th day, Aaron was still clinging to hope, and he had an epiphany. He realized that he could use his body weight and the boulder to break the arm, the bones of his forearm. And finally, he managed to do so. He then painfully cut through the remaining soft tissue, skin, vessels, and nerves, and was free. After 6 days of being stuck, Aaron Rolser was free of the boulder. Mentally and physically exhausted, Aaron then had to walk 6.5 miles before he ran into a small family of hikers who had a liter of water and 2 Oreo cookies. Eventually, a rescue helicopter was summoned, and moments before Aaron's body shut down, he was flown to a hospital and nursed back to a stable condition. Wow, what a story. Now, what saved this man's life? Clearly, it was that he made a firm decision that he had to cut off his arm. That's not something that just happens by chance. You have to have absolute resolve. And in the same way, if we find ourselves stuck in our spiritual growth, if we're stagnant and not moving forward, we need to have resolve to move forward, to grow. Now, when you make a decision that it's time to get unstuck, you won't immediately and instantly get to amazing growth. But making a decision can give you the momentum and the inertia that you need to get going. Have you ever tried to push a car that was stuck in the mud or in snow? Probably many times. You know, I find it so interesting that you can have a truck with 300 horsepower that's going nowhere. The tires are spinning. But a couple folks hop out, which probably isn't even 1 horsepower, and they get the truck or the car rocking back and forth. Suddenly the tires hook up and off you go. You're back in motion. And in the same way spiritually, when we make a decision to grow, that gives us that little bit of momentum, that inertia, to get us moving forward again. The next thing that we need to consider to get our spiritual journey moving onwards and to get unstuck is to start with the end in mind and have the right mindset for growth. You know, before you go anywhere, you want to have a clear picture of where you want to go. None of us just decided to drive around randomly this morning and hope that we got to church. We knew where we were going. And in the same way, in life, if you want to achieve something, if you want to become somebody, you have to have a clear picture of what that looks like before you can get there. Unfortunately, many people drift through life without a plan. From a spiritual context, it can be the same. Some people commit their lives to Christ, but after that, they just kind of flounder. There's no growth. There's no forward progress. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, we read about this where it states, "We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." Here the writer states that these Christians should have kept going, but instead they got stuck. To get unstuck, we need to have a clear picture of where we're headed and what we will look like when we get there. Many Christians, and I should say far too many Christians, have the ultimate goal of their life to get to heaven. Now, granted, I want to get to heaven, and that's a place that we all want to go, and I hope that every one of us makes it there. But if our ultimate goal is just to get to heaven, when you become a Christian, you've pretty much attained all there is to attain. Now, some folks could say, well, you know, I accepted Christ, I've punched my ticket to heaven, and now I'm just going to put my feet up and wait for 30 or 40 years for the train to come to the station. But if that is our attitude, if that is our ultimate goal, we're not going to grow. We're going to stay right where we are. Instead, as Christians, our ultimate goal should be to become as Christ-like as possible. So let me just repeat that, because I think it bears repeating. Our ultimate goal as Christians is not just to get to heaven. It is to become as Christ-like as possible. And therefore, we need to study Christ. We need to know what it looks like to act like Christ, what it looks like to live like Christ, to love like Christ, to forgive like Christ. You see, if we are locked onto him and we have a clear picture of who Jesus Christ is, well, then it's much more likely that we'll have the momentum to keep moving forward and growing in our faith. You know, I don't think there's many people in this room that would say, you know, I'm probably as Christ-like as humanly possible. I don't know if anyone would put their hand up and sign up for that title. No, there's always room for growth. And it doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for 5 days, 5 years, or 50 years. If your ultimate goal, if your picture is to become as Christ-like as possible, there is still room for growth, and you can still keep moving forward. You know, when you are target practicing with a gun, you will never hit a target that you don't aim for. And same thing in our spiritual walk, you will never hit a target if you do not have a target in mind. As Christians, we need to lock on to the target of growing into the fullness of Christ. Thirdly, the next thing that we need to do to get unstuck is to step out in faith and be willing to take some risks. Now, again, I don't think there's many of us who love taking risks. However, back in the day, I used to think it was a great idea to bomb down the ski hill as fast as possible, fly over the biggest jumps. I used to love to see how many gears I could pull a wheelie in my dirt bike. But I'll be honest, as I've gotten older, as I've had kids, these risks just don't really appeal to me so much anymore. I kind of like playing it safe. If I never pull a wheelie in fifth gear on a motorbike, I won't be that disappointed. In fact, that's a good self-preservation technique. However, sometimes playing it safe isn't really what's best for us. You know, there's a quote that I really like. It states that comfort comes as a friend. It stays as a host and finally lingers to enslave us. Let me repeat that one more time. Comfort comes into your house as a guest. It stays as a friend and it lingers to enslave us. Now, I admit I like to be comfortable. I like comfortable shoes. I like a comfortable chair. I like a comfortable temperature with not a lot of wind. But as humans, when we find ourselves in a comfortable situation, we tend not to move from it, right? Now, think of your favorite restaurant. You know, when people ask you, hey, where would you like to go for lunch today? We almost always answer with the same place. It's kind of like, hey, they haven't poisoned us yet, so let's just keep going back there time and time again. And what's even more funny is that when we go to our favorite restaurant, almost all the time we order the same dish. I remember once I was in the La Fiesta in Palmer here, and the waiter walked up and was like, hey, Mico Joaquin Trio? I thought, man, this guy knows me pretty well. But as much as we like comfort and it can be comical, in our spiritual lives, we can find a place that's comfortable and we can stay there without moving, without changing for years, 5, 10, 15, 20 years. And if you haven't moved spiritually in the last 20 years, you're stuck. You're up to your axles, if you would. If we are to get unstuck, we might have to take some risks. We might have to do some things that are uncomfortable. We might have to serve in a way that's uncomfortable. We might have to get involved in a ministry that makes us uncomfortable. We might have to rearrange our priorities. We may need to rearrange our time. We may need to rearrange our finances. We may need to do some things that aren't easy. But if we are going to move forward, at times, we have to take risks. In Hebrews 11:16, we read, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Notice here that it doesn't say it's difficult. Notice that it doesn't say it's challenging. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if we don't have faith, if we are not willing to take some calculated risks, we're going to miss out. God may be calling you specifically to minister to someone, and if you don't have the faith to step out and do it, you will miss out, and so will they. God may be asking you to participate in a ministry where he needs you, and if you don't have the faith to step out and take the risk, again, you will miss out, and you will not grow. Think of David in his battle with Goliath. If he wouldn't have faith to step out and take an incredible risk, history would have never been the same. Or Moses. He had no intention to be God's liaison to Pharaoh, but with faith, he stepped out, and God used him in a mighty way. And so far as, and therefore, as believers, when we find ourselves stuck, we need to learn to step out in faith, take a risk, and God will allow us to grow and move forward. Fourthly, another component to getting unstuck is to put yourself in an environment that nurtures growth, an environment that nurtures progress. Now, you don't have to be an experienced gardener like Dick Roberts over there to know that in Alaska, you could not grow mangoes. You could not grow papayas. You could not grow watermelon. You could not grow pomegranates. You could not grow avocados. And I'm really disappointed, or, you know, this is a really unfortunate thing because those foods are super yummy. And just think about how much money you could save at the grocery store if you could grow those things. But the reality is, Alaska is not the right environment for those foods to grow. Cabbages, yes. Potatoes, yes. Raspberries, yes. Bananas, no. If you want to grow a banana tree, you have to go many, many miles south from here. And in the same way, in a spiritual perspective, if we want to grow, we need to A, put ourselves in an environment for growth, and B, stay away from the environments that will inhibit our growth and bring us down to ruin. And the Bible is very clear on this matter. In Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, we read, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." In Proverbs 13, 20, it states, "Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm." And in Corinthians 12, 33, we also read, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." And we could go on and on with additional verses, but the reality is where you spend your time and with whom you spend your time will shape who you become. Growing up, my grandfather used to always say to me, "Show me your friends, and I will show you who you are. Show me your friends, and I will show you who you are." And there was a few times where I had a couple friends along the years where I didn't really want to introduce them to my grandfather. But that staying stuck with me, and I think that there is a lot of truth to it. How many times have you heard of somebody who was doing great? Good kid, doing well in school. Life seemed to be going well for them, and suddenly you hear a bad report. You hear that they've got off track, they've gotten into drugs, they've broken the law, they're in jail, they're doing things that are just poor choices. And then we ask, what happened? How did they get to that point? How often is the answer, well, they started hanging out with the wrong people. They started running with the wrong crowd. Friends, bad friends will bring you down. Now, obviously, I'm not saying that you need to isolate yourself from everyone who's not a Christian. You know, when we meet someone, our leading line shouldn't be, "Hey, are you a believer? Too bad. If not, I would have loved to have got to be your friend, but I don't hang out with non-believers." That's not how we are to act. That's not how we are to relate to people. But we need to be careful. You know, if you say, "Hey, I'm just going to hang out in the bar all the time, and you watch, I'm just going to go in there and evangelize all those people," the reality is you are going to be the one doing the changing. So we need to be careful where we spend our time and with whom we spend our time. On the other side of the equation, if we find ourselves getting stagnant or stuck spiritually, we need to hang out with people who will spur us on to greater things, who will encourage us, who will lift us to higher heights. We need to spend time with people who are devoted to God, enthusiastic, and walk with people or spend time with people who have walked with God for many years. If we do, it will rub off on us. So it seems in life that there are relationships that will bring you down. I think we've all had a few of those over the years. We can think of people or relationships that just had a drain on us. And then there are relationships that will build you up, that will encourage you, that will leave you energized. And so it is that we need to have enough of those encouraging, building relationships to offset those that will bring us down. And this is one of the reasons that I'm such a proponent of attending church. And I know that I'm literally preaching to the choir here this morning. But I want to commend you for taking the time to be here. Because when we're around like-minded people, we get encouraged. We get, there's encouragement. There's a nourishment for us to grow. And in the same way that we get encouraged, we can encourage others and encourages their growth as well. We can also seek out mentors. We can be part of a small group. We can listen to great podcasts on the internet or on the radio. I know I've been blessed over the years listening to people like Ravi Zacharias or Greg Laurie. But whatever it is, we need to find ourselves in an encouragement, in a situation that will encourage us and spur us on to growth. Being around good people and influence is critical to your continued progress in your spiritual journey. Next, in order to move forward, we need to learn to grow through the hardships of life. Growing spiritually isn't always easy, and growing spiritually isn't always fun. Sometimes when we are stuck, I believe God brings challenges, difficulties, and hardships in our life to force us to move forward. But whether we grow through life's difficulties, whether we grow through the hardships and pain of life, or whether we get stuck and move backwards, depends on our attitude. You see, stuck people, stagnant people, when faced with the difficulties of life, ask the question, why me, God? Why me? They blame God. They blame circumstances. They wallow around in self-pity and never go anywhere. People who are growing, people who are unstuck, people who are moving forward, ask the question, Lord, what do you want me to learn in this situation? I'm not saying that we will always like our situations. I'm not saying that we won't get frustrated. But if we are moving forward in Christ, we need to ask, what is an all-knowing, all-loving God who deeply loves me trying to show me in this difficult time? Have you ever gone to the gym? Have you ever noticed that people go to the gym and they lift really light weights and develop big muscles? No, that's not how it works. You know, if you want to get buff, if you want the gun show, looking at these guys over here, you got to go in the gym and lift some heavy weight. You got to go in there and grunt and groan. And I see people in the gym sometimes. It looks like the veins are popping out on their forehead. You think they're about ready to blow a head gasket. But eventually, if they stick with it long enough, day after day, week after week, month after month, suddenly the muscles start to grow. Suddenly the weight starts moving faster and easier than it did before. In James 1, 2 through 4, we read, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Notice what happens. When difficult times come our way, we grow. When difficult times come our way, suddenly our prayer life perks up. Suddenly we are turning our attention back to God. And progress happens. I've also heard it said that 90% of progress in life happens purely by not giving up. Now, sometimes you find yourself in a situation that is just so overwhelming. You think, man, I only have like this much, like I'm only this big, and this situation requires this much. But if you just hang in there, if you just don't give up and you keep fighting and pressing on, pretty soon you're going to start stretching. Pretty soon you're going to grow. And pretty soon you're going to grow to the level required to deal with your situation. You see, the distance between where you are and where what is required for your situation is how much you're going to grow. But that growth will only happen if you stay with it, if you don't give up and keep pressing forward. Lastly, in order to get unstuck and keep moving forward, we need to develop great habits. I had a mentor years ago who taught me a great quote, and that quote was, good habits, good life. There is no exception. If you have good habits, you will have a good life. If you have bad habits, you will have a bad life, no exception. And there's some truth to that. You know, if you want to be a good student, well, you better learn how to have good study habits. If you want to have a clean room or a clean house, well, you better learn some habits of cleanliness. If you want to be on time, well, you need to learn some habits that help you be on time. In Timothy 4:8, we read, "Train yourself in godliness. Exercise for the body is not useless, but godliness is useful in every respect, possessing as it does the promise of life now and the life which is soon coming." Then in verse 15, it states, "Habitually practice these duties and be absorbed in them, so that your growing proficiency in them may be evident to all." And finally, in Luke 9:23, we find, "If anyone would come after me," this is Jesus saying, "if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily." Here we are instructed to train ourselves daily. We are instructed to take up our cross. And again, when I think of this, I kind of think of the gym. You don't go to the gym one time, hit one big workout, and suddenly you're fit. It's a decent start, but it won't get you far. Instead, you need to develop a good routine and then put the habits in place that will get you to the gym consistently until you reach your goal. In the same way, with healthy eating. If you want to get healthy, you can't eat one plate of spinach and a chicken breast and say, "Ha, there I am, I'm healthy." No. You need to develop healthy eating habits, and you need to eat healthy day after day after day consistently. And in the same way, from a spiritual perspective, we need to develop habits that will put fuel in our tanks so that we will not get stagnant, so that we will not get stuck. And recently, we've been hearing a lot in our messages about reading the Word. That is one of the most important habits that we can get into. As Pastor JR has mentioned, we need to not just read the Word once in a while, but consistently, and develop a hunger for God's Word, for learning from the Bible. Secondly, we also need to continue to develop a deep prayer life and take time for silence and self-reflection. Jesus gave us a great example of this in Mark 1:35. It says there, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." If we want to move forward in our spiritual journey, we need to take time for prayer and time for silence with the Lord. And I'm not saying that this is easy. I think if we went down the rows and asked people today, who here is busy? I think every single person, for the most part, would answer, "I am busy, busy, busy." But if we want to really keep moving forward with Christ, we need to find time to draw near to him in prayer, to bring our petitions to God, to bring our praise to God, and then to sit back and be silent and allow him to impart his wisdom into us, to allow him to direct us in the direction that we ought to go for our lives. And there's many other habits, and I could go on and on and on of different habits that we need to employ. But the reality is, if we want to get unstuck and move forward in our walk with Christ, we need to develop good habits that will keep us moving forward. Good habits are the key to endurance. Now, in conclusion, getting stuck can happen to any of us. Getting stuck can happen to all of us. But we don't have to spend the rest of our lives there. This morning, as we bring things to a close, I want you to ask yourself, has the monotony of everyday life brought you to stagnation? Do you feel stuck? And if so, I want to encourage you this morning to make a commitment to get unstuck, to move forward. I would also like you to spend a little bit of time in self-reflection and ask yourself which of these things you're doing and maybe which of these things you could improve on. First, have you made a decision, like Paul, to strain forward and grow no matter what? It is the key to our momentum. Secondly, have you developed a clear picture of where you want to go? Have you started with the end in mind? It is the key to motivation. Thirdly, do you find yourself in environments that encourage growth? It is the key to inspiration. Fourth, have you learned to walk by faith into situations that are uncomfortable and require us to move in ways that we often think we can't? It is the key to change. Fifth, have you learned to grow from the difficulties of life? Have we stopped playing the blame game for life setbacks and learned to look for the lesson? This is the key to growing our character. And finally, have you developed daily habits that move you closer to God? It is the key to our endurance. So as we bring things to a close here this morning, I know that was probably a lot of information to digest. And sometimes when we drink from the proverbial fire hose, it gets kind of overwhelming. It's a daunting task. So if I could give you a game plan to follow here this morning, I would like to encourage you first to make a commitment to grow. To make a commitment, rather, whether you're stuck or not, to make a commitment to move forward and become more like Christ. And secondly, I would say pick the one thing. Maybe there's one thing that as we were going over the message this morning, that, you know, that flashing light on the dashboard that was like, hey, I could do better with that. Pick that one thing and focus on it. Don't get overwhelmed. Do one thing at a time, and suddenly you are moving forward again. Growth is exciting. Growth is normal. It is fun at times, and sometimes it's not. But growth is not automatic. And we do get stuck. But thanks be to God, we don't need to stay that way. Amen.